Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.
And again, Jim Gerhardt, Bob Williams, urging you to join us as we stalk the elusive Jersey paradox.
Mm-hmm.
Why in a state that comes out first or in the top group in any positive survey, best place to live, I think last week, best place to raise children and go on, and at the same time, another survey will come out and say that 68% of the people can't wait to get out.
It's the politicians, Jim. That's why we can't have nice things.
Speaking of that, you came in here sort of like you've been rid hard and put away wet.
Oh,
you had,
man,
a busy morning. As traffic,
yeah,
man.
It was a very busy morning. A bad accident on the Jersey Turnpike this morning by Carteret. Tanker truck flipped over last night. Propane on board.
And it was still closed this morning.
And it was closed till about 9 o'clock this morning by Carteret. The worst delays were over 20 miles, 2 hours delays. People's schedules are all messed up. I'm sure a lot of people were affected by Newark Airport, trying to get to the airport on time, and all of the surrounding roads. I haven't seen a morning like this in quite a long time, and it's just one of those things where all the roads came together, because Woodbridge, mm-hmm, that Carteret area, that's where all of the roads converge, one of the largest areas in our region, and most every road was affected, and it's been quite a while.
You know, I can't help but wonder when we're going to get gridlock. I think it was probably 10... maybe a few more years ago, they had a big traffic survey, experts in New Jersey, and they predicted that our current infrastructure would not handle all the projected traffic in, I believe they said at the time, in 15 years. They expected a period of complete gridlock.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've gotten there, but sometimes it looks like we're getting awfully close.
We're very close. The timing was horrible this morning with this accident. It was the peak of the rush hour,
mm-hmm,
the heart of people's commutes, and It was like a 3 or 4 county delay. Mm. You had delays all the way back to Monmouth County and almost down to Mercer.
It was back to Hightstown?
On the turnpike, over 20 miles, and that translated into about a 2-hour ride. Mm. You close the outer roadway, you keep the inner roadway open, and everything was just funneled in there. It was just an amazingly bad morning.
We'd like to hear from you. We'll read from you, I guess, as it comes down to. Mm-hmm. So please, anytime you'd like to jump in, things you might suggest that we bring up, because it is that, so many things go on, those that slip through the cracks. Funny thing happened to the childhood inoculation bill on the way, I believe it was to the assembly.
Yes, people stood up and said no.
But, you know, I'd like to say, just throw out an idea to the people who are jumping up and saying no. Now, again, as we had talked about before, I don't have a solution to this. But I was around, and not many people are, I think, who can remember back when we first started getting inoculations, or they first became, very compulsory,
right,
which was smallpox.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had
polio, right?
Well, polio is the big one that jumps out. People do not remember, as I can, how many kids in school were, what was known as cripple in those days, because of polio.
No, I know.
And suddenly in 1950, what would have been, 5 or 6?
Tragedy is lost on almost this entire generation, because there's not many people left that remember that or lived through that.
I don't remember anybody protesting against it, because it had not become a big issue. This was something new. But it did wipe this out. Smallpox, which we all got, the little scratch on the shoulder, back in those days. So that was about it.
Yeah.
But again, if you had seen the results of these afflictions that people got, especially children, before there were inoculations,
right,
I think you might think twice about this. I think what the problem is so damn many of them.
Yes. Well, yeah, that's what I think it is. And I don't think that a lot of people that oppose the inoculations are opposed to vaccines in general. Mm-hmm. I just think they're opposed to the way they're being administered or forced on us.
Well, there is something that goes against the grain with the government forcing anything on us. And more and more, this is happening in different areas. I would be comfortable with it. I have this area of discomfort with pumping chemicals into bodies.
Unnecessarily.
Because the human body is a self-regulating organism, mm-hmm. or is supposed to be. And if you treat it and stoke it as it was meant to be, the body will take care of a lot of these things.
Yes.
So how many did somebody told us last week? 60?
64. Now, like I
said,
that's
incredible.
And some of those vaccines involve mm-hmm. several inoculations for the same vaccine, but still, mm-hmm. that is a lot of shots.
Well, what the Senate had passed this compulsory, are eliminating the religious exemption.
Right. Well, they came very close. They came within one vote for this last session.
Well,
And thanks to our listeners, I mean, we really galvanized. You know, you'd be very, very happy to see that a lot of people were very, very upset about this issue, and they took to the assembly chambers earlier this week, and they took off work.
Well,
thousands of people showed up there on a work day to protest the situation.
That's when Steve Sweeney uttered the proclamation that let them yell all they want.
Right. You this know, is going to pass at some point.
It'll come back again, I think, in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah, it's going to start in the next session.
Absolutely. So it looks like, as it stands right now, whether you like this or not, or yell and scream or against it or not, you're going to get it in what amounts to a political enema.
Right.
There ain't no way that you're going to avoid it.
And it doesn't sound like the government wants to even discuss it.
No.
They don't want to have any sort of debate or some sort of compromise.
Couldn't they arrive at some state of understanding or a compromise here? In which they were found. Which ones are absolutely essential?
Yes,
I can't think of 64 diseases.
Yeah.
Can you?
No, I agree that there's got to be some sort of mid-ground.
So if they could do that. Also, the government has kind of messed in its own nest because of the suspicion that there's money behind all of this. Hmm. And there is a lot of money.
Isn't there always follow the trail? Follow the money.
But you can't say definitely that somebody had asked, I saw in some piece I saw, that I guess it was like a email to whoever, and it had suggested that maybe these people were getting some money from the pharmaceutical industry, the campaign contributions, we call them now.
Hmm.
That's the current name for bribery, the euphemism. Have you heard that, Dan? Let's bring Dan Alexander, our expert news
Good morning.
Voice here. You get the pharmaceutical companies naturally will make money on this. You get the medical industry, the people who prescribe the shots, and then those who give the shots. So there's a lot of money at stake here,
all in one nice corporate column.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Dan, right now officially it stands at, it did not pass, but it's coming back up again.
Well, the legislative session ended on Monday. Mm-hmm. So we on Tuesday, so the bill, Senator Sweeney did not put it up for a vote. So the bill essentially died without going up for a vote. But he has vowed to bring it up to introduce. They have to start all over again now.
Yeah.
So they have to start over from scratch with, a new bill, an assembly vote, a committee vote, assembly, Senate. Mm-hmm. And he's vowed to bring it back up again for a vote. And it looks like it'll be probably, we don't have a date, but probably sooner rather than later.
Is there any talk before this is done or during the process of debate, if there is any, of examining all of these to see how many are necessary?
I don't think that's part of this. I don't think that's part of the discussion.
It's all or nothing, right?
But this package, in other words, the standards have been set by the medical and the pharmaceutical industry.
Right.
Not by the legislature. Not by some independent group or citizens group or what have you.
Correct.
And they're the ones who tell you how many of these. And there's something that goes against the grain, and we got several of these things going nowadays, that are sort of a background part of this debate, and that is there's something against the government imposing things on you. And this is the same thing with the immigration not to get into that at the moment. But the fact that no matter who says what and how much anybody likes what and who contributes to what, it's against the law what they did. Yeah. And so I guess you have a generation coming up now who does not feel that way because you see the law flouted all the time. So maybe this is sort of a generational thing that'll pass like a lot of things. I think the attitude of the generation coming up is going to be entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
Much more tolerant of a lot of things, including government
oversight
on one kind or another.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess on that one we happen to wait. I can understand the people who are yelling about it and who are fighting this, because the idea of pumping chemicals into a child's body
and it's also the government stepping in between the patient-doctor relationship. I mean, if the doctor feels that a certain child or whoever needs an inoculation because they're susceptible because of their health, I mean, suppose someone has health issues that they need the exemption. Does that get overridden? And, hey, let's just inoculate everybody. Give everybody a vaccine.
Yeah, this depends a lot on how it's written. I had a piece. Well, anyway, I won't get to that. I had a piece. You asked the question about, the government stepping in and I had this quote from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Oh, the classic.
It's a classic. Who ruled that the government, the school, i.e. the government, is the final arbiter on what your children hear, what they read, what they get, and not the parent. And if that were to stand, if it ever got to the Supreme Court, it'd be interesting to see how they come down on that.
Yeah, it sounds
in
like
which
the...
in a final push coming to shove, down to these old nitty-gritty, as it were, that it is the government who makes decisions on what you teach your kids, what they learn, the values that they pick up. All of this will be, this is the work of the school. That becomes additionally dangerous because you might say, well, that'll never happen. But in addition to that, I know the Bernie Sanders, one of the matters that he proposes is that there would be elimination of all private education.
Right.
At least at the public level. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It would all be public, which means it would all be controlled by the government. And so it is all really a process of indoctrinating you into whatever the government's up to at the moment, whatever their agenda is.
Socialized education, medicine.
Yeah. Well,
shots for all.
Anyway, I guess we'll defer that. And again, please, if you happen to be seeing this and have a question, have a comment, we'd like to hear from you. We'd like very much to hear from you.
Right. Especially if you're a parent and you're having to deal with this decision or whatever.
Can you get that font a little bigger than that?
There we go. We got the email here,
but it's written on the head of a pen.
There you go.
A grain of rice, I think.
Maria is very upset.
Maria says, this is crazy stuff. I'm so upset about what's going on here. Go ahead. You take it.
Maria says it's unconstitutional. It's discriminatory. And she says, welcome to the new world order.
Well, yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. This is exactly what it
says.
Where we're
it all,
going.
Maria.
And again, there is something to be said in a way for the New World Order. I just don't like what the New World Order, the tenets of it.
Just because it's new doesn't mean
it's
great.
Because the population is getting to the point where we're getting close to everybody just being shoulder to shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And you almost have to have some particular, some kind of control there on it. But yeah, you're getting more and more into that. So what do? You do what New Jersey people normally do. Nothing. Right. I.e. property tax.
Put on your sheep costume and start going, bah, bah.
Another thing the governor is pushing now, again, very strongly, the so-called millionaire's tax. One of the problems with the millionaire's tax in the past was that it did not have $1 million, the required amount over which you'd be taxed extra or more at a higher rate. I think at one time it got down to $250,000 a year. And there's some cases in which this is not at all unusual with people nowadays, and especially if you have a couple filing jointly.
Yeah.
But so now, I think he's talking about, is he not, Dan, $1 million? That would be the cutoff point.
I thought it was higher. I thought it was lower, actually. But
I don't know.
He hasn't put forth a plan.
They still call it millionaire's tax.
Yes.
Yeah. So one of the arguments against it is that this would force these people to move out of the state. It would be so onerous upon the people who are in the, whatever that category is,
right,
that they'd pack up and move. And New Jersey would not only lose good citizens, but New Jersey would lose more tax money than it would gain when they're gone and not paying taxes. So I looked into that a little bit, and we'll take 2018 as the last year that all these facts are available. And remember, this was very strong then, maybe even stronger than now, because Corzine was the Democrats were pushing it back then very, very strongly. New Jersey has, let's rough it out to 9 million population. And this is surprising. In New Jersey, there are 293,992 people making $1 million or more a year, or who are filing for that.
Out of how many million?
9 million.
Out of 9 million.
And we have roughly 300,000 in that category. Now, that only boils down to 3% of the population.
Yeah.
So it's a little smaller than you might think. Now, as best they can tell, in 2018, 4,700 people in that tax category left the state.
Mm-hmm.
They were off the tax rolls in the state of New Jersey. 4,700 people. They could have left for a variety of reasons, but let's say for the heck of it that they left because they taxed. They were afraid they were going to get this tax. That is 0.015% of the population. I mean, of the millionaires left. So that is not even worth considering.
Right.
When that gets, I think, I don't know if the Steve Sweeney threw that out, one of the opponents of it. Mm-hmm. That's not worth considering, really. I tell you the truth, I'm for it. I don't know how it's set up. You can't say you're for it because you haven't read the small print in the bill. But the fact that people should pay more, and they should be very happy to pay more if you're certainly that well off, that means that you can fulfill the highest expectation of you by this society, and the highest, consequently, ambition is to have more stuff than anybody else.
Hmm.
That's the point. So what would be fair in taxation would be, as has been proposed many times, it's very simple. The tax code is what, about 8 feet thick if you stack the books up, and thousands and thousands, 60,000 some
right.
pages or articles in there. You could do it in 6 words. And that is 15% tax on everybody.
Flat tax.
Flat tax. And that's been suggested. But the reason you can't do that is that the people who are the movers and the groovers will not be able to get the breaks.
Right.
It's those who have want more, I guess. So
I'll tell you, you know, a good gig to have if this thing goes through, being a realtor over in Bucks County. Man, they're probably salivating over there. Come on over. We get you a lot of house for less money and less tax.
Let's get to some of the comments here. Let's go to Julie. Says, vaccine mandate is a removal of parental rights over the medical care of their children. My child, my choice. Yes, well, that's sort of the traditional view. We're finding out more and more that is not necessarily the case. And you're going to have more and more restrictions. Look at the restrictions already, or at least the restraints that are putting on, what, free speech.
Right.
I noticed, and I this is a little tricky one to get into, but that is a story yesterday we had on the website, Dan. There was talking about hate crimes were up in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is interesting because the definition of that is very vague, is it not? Sort of nebulous.
Yeah.
Of just what that is. And it would range from the very serious, which is obviously bad, to some things that might be considered frivolous by some people. And anyway, that's another matter. Let's see, Niccolo says, talking about the rich, their kids do not have to get them in their cushy private schools. That, I think, is right, is it not? Mm. Now, the cushy private school could mandate, as I understand it,
yes,
that they get these inoculations, but have any of them actually done it that we know of?
I don't know if it's uniform, but yeah, there's probably a few.
During the measles outbreak in Lakewood, I know that some of the schools did require the students to show proof of vaccination.
Not through the school, but as long as they had it done privately.
Right. Well,
you'd have it done anywhere, but you have to have it to get into enroll in the school.
Yeah.
So where was that?
Lakewood.
Lakewood. Last year during the measles outbreak, that was a lot of the cases were in Lakewood. And what wound up happening was a lot of the shuls were saying, if you want your child to come back to school, because there's a winter break in there, they were saying you needed to show proof of vaccination.
Right. Well, this again, I was looking for this piece. I will hopefully find it eventually. That the Circuit Court of Appeals, well, I don't think I had it out here at hand, had ruled, and I think this is probably the trend, what's going to happen, especially if this new left gets into power in this country. You're going to find the government stepping in more and more, because that's part and part of the socialism, really, is the government control.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a mess. Now, people think when the people during the debates get up and I am going to have free college education, there's going to be a whole lot of free stuff for everybody, and we're going to do all these. This doesn't mean they actually can,
because
politicians always. But in order to do that, Trump, four years ago, Trump said, if I'm elected, we're going to have this great health care system, this new health care system. It's going to be great. Well, we don't see it. We're going to build the wall. We don't have the wall. Or much of it.
It's in progress, but it's not done.
But again,
it's not done, no.
It's a long step between making a campaign promise.
You got 435 people that you have to deal with in both houses of Congress.
So I wish I could find that piece. Yeah. But it's scary, and people react in some almost in horror. Well, the government is telling me how to raise my children?
Hmm.
You get used to it. You're going to have more and more of that. And the reason you're going to have more and more of it is that people generally just tuck their tail between their legs and run off and don't pay any attention to it.
But,
because I think this culture's got everybody so busy,
but
they don't have time to sit and contemplate anything.
But like I said, it was very amazing, very impressive that a lot of our listeners took the day off of work last Monday to go down and protest this vaccination bill. It was very impressive. It harkens back to the days with the Florio toilet paper rallies and hands across New Jersey. When people are affected,
it's a really
hot topic. Yeah. They're gonna go out of their way. They're not gonna be a sheep. It doesn't happen that often, Jim.
You spoke at one of those state house rallies, and there were thousands of people. That was the Flying Pig rally.
Yes, and we also had the empty wallet.
Yeah,
because we were just being taxed like crazy.
But again, some of these, I think the Hands Across New Jersey rally, which would have been 1993
or 90? Was it 90?
Yeah, and against the Florio tax increase. Huge number of people. It was just packed in Trenton that day. And everybody yelled and screamed, but nothing happened. But some of the politicians started to think then.
Yeah.
Because it was the petition that Hands Across New Jersey had circulated that new candidates for the legislature and the Senate had to sign, or asked them to sign, supporting initiative and referendum, which would let the people have some say in all this stuff, which they don't now. After they were reelected, I saw some of those pledges that they just drawn a line through it. I whited it out, yes, and put no after the fact. God bless his soul, Sam Parelli of the United Taxpayers, who's passed
Sam,
on.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Sam, at one time, when the income tax, the state part of it, was raised beyond a certain level, they got petitions going. They had millions of signatures on the petitions. They put them on a flatbed truck and drove it to Trenton and parked it in front of the state house so the legislature would see it. This is how the people feel. Well, nobody even bothered looking out their window at it, and eventually it rained on the petitions. That was kind of the end of that. But all of these things, but I think what happened is this pointed, and there were politicians who were almost shaking in their boots, because a politician's main concern is his job. This is political careerism. And it's like you and I would do anything to protect our jobs, because our families depend on it, our lives, everything depends on the job. In this case, it has a downside for the public, because legislation, laws, and the things that do restrict our lives are passed not particularly because they're considered good or bad, or because of scientific evidence one way or the other. Mm-hmm. It's because which one is going to get me the most votes and which one is going to stand my better chance of getting reelected. Mm-hmm. But I think the politicians learned back in those days, where people were actually getting out there doing something, all they had to do was hunker down. And it was like, to me, I had Rottweilers at the time. It was like having a tug of war with a Rottweiler, with these big rope pulls tug of wars.
Who's going to
endure?
You will
never win, because the Rottweiler will never get tired. You're going to get bored and tired after a while, and you're going to throw in the rope. And the politician figure they do the same thing. You just hunker down. This will pass. People will go off to other things because people want a new novelty all the time. And this novelty is worn off. It's kind of a depressing thing when you've been fired up getting ready for the rally. Yeah. Then it's over and you go home and you know, you're right back where you were.
Did you catch the State of the State address from the governor this week?
No, I very studiously spent that time out in the yard hauling dirt.
Beautiful day to do that, yes.
I used to watch those.
Yeah. But apparently it sounds like he's warming up to run again.
There was a little comment thrown in there, I understand. Yeah. He was talking about, well, maybe, he said during the 4 years, well, maybe 8 years, it's another matter. Well, of course he is. You know, he's probably enjoying himself. This is a toy. This is how the super rich get offices, their toys. Dan, was there anything in there that was significant, really? I mean, we know he's going to push the tax, increase the millionaire.
Well, he also repeated his pledge to fix New Jersey Transit if it kills him, and he thinks it might.
Well, that's one way out of this administration. hold him to that.
It was a laundry list of his accomplishments during what he considered his accomplishments during the last couple of years, first 2 years of his administration.
Well, he didn't tackle the biggies like pension reform, which Steve Sweeney has been holding out for.
Which is where the whole millionaire's tax comes in with pension reform.
But it won't go, believe me, that millionaire's tax is going into the general fund. We see this, they hear this all the time, and it'll be doled out, as the governor did, to increase, not only rein in the pensions, but to increase the benefits and the entitlements to the unions in return for their vote and their support at the polls.
So the pension and benefits can get kicked down the road even more.
Sure. And the debt keeps piling up. And the people keep going broke because you have to, this is where your taxes are going now into that. So anything else?
From the state.
No, that's okay. That answers the question. Dan, who's the ace newsman, can't remember any, or can't come up with anything more.
Before we leave, you said you were, before the show, you're upset because of your property tax bill coming due this month?
Well, of course. I mean, it's due at the end of the month, and you figure, okay, the little income that you have when in retirement, boy, you could use that. So many things need to be done. My garage needs a roof. I need my driveway, what do they call it? Not resurfaced entirely, but they come back and redo something on it to harden it up again. And so many things
that you could do with the money.
And yet here comes the whole Social Security check and goes to
the government. Are your tax rates frozen because of you're on a fixed income now? Is that the case?
Well, I'm assuming, but even if they're not, they don't vary that much.
Right, so you're still probably a substantial bill.
I'm assuming that the CSI group, about whom I talk, my good friends Peter Greco, who take care of my finances.
Jacksonari and all the guys over there.
Jacksonari and the people that you hear on the radio station at times. So, you know, we're not trying to sell anything here. I assume they have that. But this is the official New Jersey state malignancy. Is property taxes. Well, they've got state worms and state bacteria and state everything but a state song.
Still nope, they can't settle on anything with that.
The elusive state song.
The elusive state song.
Who was the gentleman that always had that song?
Red Mascara.
I'm from New Jersey and I'm proud about it, or something like that.
From New Jersey and I'm proud about it.
Milbert.
I love the Garden State. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom.
That's the one. Yeah. That's a toe tapper. Never got much consideration.
My favorite story. They used to have contests all the time, and they do this among school children to come up with the state song. And it was kind of fun. And then you pick a winner. Well, they had a winner one time from a middle school up in Somerset County, I believe it was. And they came up with a song. It was awful. But anyway, that was declared the winner of the contest for a state song. Now, my scenario on how they got chosen, this was through the legislature, how they got chosen was in keeping with the normal political process in New Jersey. Now, here are middle schoolers. But what they did, they extorted lunch money from the elementary school students to build up a war chest to go down to make contributions to the political campaigns of the people in their district. So they were beating up second graders to raise a war chest, which is what you have to do. Yeah. We don't have that. Yeah, you had a question.
No, that's pretty much it. That's why you're upset, and rightfully so.
Well, it does happen. Well, again, the big reason, of course, is that most people, and I went through the same thing, you went through the same thing, have a mortgage to pay, and it's folded into your mortgage. And so you don't notice it, and you agreed to this from the beginning, and you don't stop and think. If you took the that portion out of it, the education part out of my property, and reined in some of the others,
great it would be to live in New Jersey.
And how great. People don't think that way for some reason, because they don't, you know, they would say, what, why are you bothering about property taxes? I don't pay any property taxes.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think they don't.
Right.
But you do. And once you pay off your mortgage, though, you have to trot down, hat in hand, cash in a bushel basket or a bag.
Every three months.
You got one coming up
February 1st.
And it hurts.
It sure does.
And especially people. I read a piece I was looking up yesterday, the average amount of Social Security, the check that people get, or the direct deposit now that you get. New Jersey is the highest of any state, but it's not much. It's only about $1,600 a month.
Yeah.
And that's not very much money when your property taxes may be $3,000,
right,
a quarter. And you're getting...
Don't we all know
and
that?
And you're getting... just about that over the 3 months. I mean, it's a bad situation.
It is.
They refused to deal with it. Just historically, Dan, do you remember this? During the Corzine administration, the legislature was prevailed upon by the governor sort of dealing with this to declare a constitutional convention, set up a constitutional convention to reconsider school taxes.
Vaguely.
Our school funding.
Okay.
It was. Remember that?
Vaguely.
Okay.
Yeah, but the problem there was you can't just open it up, because then everything else is going to be up for discussion.
Exactly, but they
review.
Came to the point of getting the legislation passed what was necessary. All they had to do was pick delegates and have a constitutional convention, which we had in the beginning back in revolutionary days, colonial days, and again in 1947. Now, in 1947, I guess the system, people had cooler heads. Nobody really tampered very much with the Constitution. The reason this died, you see, it's possible. It's improbable, but it's possible. You know, there's still miracles, I guess, that these delegates could have said, okay, the Constitution says the state shall provide this free and equal education. Not that people who happen to be prudent and frugal and bought a house should do it. It's possible they could have said, okay, this has to come out of the state treasury, which it should.
Right.
And then you figure out how to, you know, to pay it. But it petered out, as you said. And you go ahead. You explained that very well.
No, just
the idea of it died because of the
possibility that other topics could be discussed during that convention. Yeah. And nobody wanted to touch some of those third rail issues.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
They would have to have opened up not for a single issue.
Right.
Whether the law was written that way or what. But there would be all kind of tampering with changing the Constitution to the state of New Jersey to the benefit of the party who happened to be in power at that particular time.
So I think we're done.
Boy, are we?
11 o'clock past
Holy
11.
Mackerel.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, drink up. It's closing time.
Yeah,
put your glass down. Hey, Dan, thank you very much.
Thanks, Danny.
You're welcome.
And thanks to everybody. And, hopefully.
Same time next week.
We might get asked back to do it. Same. Yeah. And thank you for your contribution, for your attention. And please, you're very welcome and urge very strongly to participate in this. And it's so disappointing that people will say, as the people who responded this morning, well, it's my business raising my children. That's how we've been brought up to feel, and that's how it's always worked. But as, who is it, Bob Dylan said, the times they are a-changing.
Changing, yep.
The times they are a-changing. Thank you. Have a great week.
Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.